It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Oh, yeah. 98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, the elusive Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
We are fantastic. Thank you for joining us. There were many twists and turns. You were supposed to come on after the draft, and then such and such happened. We'll get into all of it. It's very exciting.
Very, very exciting,
Brett. Yes, that's where I'm here for, baby.
Well, let's just start off with this, Danny. What happened with Gordon Hayward?
Well, we set out to try to get Gordon to come back. That was our number one goal in the offseason, was to get Gordon back with the Celtics. He's a terrific player. And I just think that he preferred to go somewhere else, and he made his choice to go to Charlotte, and I don't know what else to say about it. There was a lot of discussion. I think there was hope. We had all the way to the end that he would return. But, you know, I think he preferred to be a more featured player, and Charlotte was paying him a lot of money, and he chose to go there.
Did he tell you why he wanted to leave?
I had numerous talks with Gordon. I have a good feeling. I have a good opinion of what that is, but I would let him share those opinions.
Well, what's your opinion?
As opposed to me. Yeah, I'm not saying my opinion. I'll let Gordon.
Did it seem like there was something other than the amount of playing time? Was there anything else, any more to it? Because, I mean, there's, you know, a perception that, you know, people, when they saw this happen, they took a look at, you know, the last, you know, three big names that were Celtics who are no longer Celtics. And, you know, you had Al Horford, you know, Kyrie Irving as well, which I don't think anybody is sad to see him go. And then Gordon Hayward, but all three of them did leave. And there's a perception that the Celtics are having a hard time keeping big name players. Is that a fair assumption? And that's why I think people want to know why Gordon Hayward decided to leave.
I would like to know what you guys think. Like, you guys are the one feeding information to people. Like, what is your opinion of that last assessment?
That's why we have you on, Danny. So you can be the guy, because, I mean, if anyone would know, it would be you.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, all three of those individuals had completely different experiences and perspectives and reasons, and they're all different. And I know that a couple of those individuals, well, at least one of those individuals would do anything to get back. And we have many, many players. We have many, many players that have left, have spent time here, that have left, that have asked to do all they could to get back to Boston. So I don't think it's anything in the culture. I don't think, you know, players, listen, a lot of it is, we know, it's about how much you get paid. It's about what opportunities you have on the court and what your opportunities to win are. And some players have different priorities and different phases of their career, and for different reasons, and I don't think it's that complicated. And then, you know, there's also the reason that some players prefer living in a different city for family reasons, or make it, just to make their lives more simple. Some people choose to live in sunshine, but you know, those, we can only control what we can control, and we're not worried about what our players think, because I think that overall our players think very highly of our culture, of the system, of Boston fans, and playing basketball in a Boston Celtics uniform.
So the way the Gordon Hayward thing went down was interesting. It was, you know, first you guys agreed that you would have two extra days before he decided whether to opt in or opt out. Now, Indiana President of Operations Kevin Pritchard, he's on record as saying that they did want Gordon Hayward, and because he also stated that Hayward, he was told that Hayward wanted to be in Indiana. He also said that they made an offer that they believed was overpaying, but you went back to them with a price that he said, once again, was too much. We've seen, of course, the reports from Gary Washburn and the Indy Star of what they threw out there. Things like Miles Turner, a first-round pick, Dougie McBuckets. You don't need to comment on that. But reports are that you wanted something more than that. And meanwhile, here comes Charlotte, and they end up taking him away. The perception was that you took a gamble and then it didn't pay off by asking for more. Is that fair?
That's not even close to fair. I think that, and I'm not defensive about that. I understand that perspective from, because if you don't, you know what I know, then you really don't know at all what happened. And it's hard to talk about what teams, you know, I prefer not to talk about what trade proposals teams make. And the other thing is 99% of all trade conversations are one team or another thinks that the other team is asking too much or for their player. And like I said, all along we had intended to keep Gordon, and we knew what all of the options were. We knew we could extend Gordon. We knew that he could opt into his contract. We knew that we had a signed trade potential. We had conversations with a handful of teams in regard to that. And we knew that he could sign into cap space. And we knew all four of those options and what they were. So any trade that came on, you know, it had to be a trade that we wanted, not a trade just to let Gordon go somewhere where he wanted to play. It had to be something that was good for the Celtics and good for all of, you know, for our business, for our luxury tax, for our personnel, and the cost of their contracts. So there was a few teams that we did talk to about that, and we just didn't feel like any of them were worthwhile for us to pursue.
Did the Charlotte offer come out of nowhere?
I wouldn't say out of nowhere. No, we knew Charlotte was a viable team. We knew that they had interest in Gordon.
Were you shocked by the money?
I was not. No, I think the money was not, I mean, I think Charlotte was probably the highest bidder. I don't know that for sure, but I think they were. And I think that it was, you know, all the teams were not so far away from that number of having Gordon play for him.
Well, the one thing that he got out of Charlotte, which was good, because for a while, you know, there was everyone was coming with the pitchforks and the torches saying that you didn't get anything and Gordon Hayward walked away, but you got this trade exemption, which is, it's enormous. I mean, it's like $28 million or something. You know the math, Danny. But there is a fear that you're not going to use this exemption. Can you kind of address those fears? Is that this is something that you will actually consider using or be able to use in the year that you're allowed to use it?
Well, first of all, the first fear is if we didn't get the trade exception, we got something. That's what I don't understand. Is that commentary. We saved $34 million in payroll and luxury tax, a lot. We have two young players that are nuclear, three young players, and Marcus and Jalen and Jason, and that we're building around and we're going to have to build around and try to be competitive with over the next bunch of years. And getting under the luxury tax is a big thing this year. And being able to use our mid-level exception to sign Tristan Thompson. We wouldn't have got Tristan Thompson without a mid-level exception. So just, we've been able to get a lot, and the fact that we got the trade exception is great, but it's also gravy. And we could use it to three players or four players to, you know, to strengthen our bench at different times. We're not going to go do anything right now, just because it's that time of year where trades are hot. People love their teams. Everybody has gotten better in the off season, and we'll see how the season goes and see where we are. But we'll have the ability to, you know, improve our team at trade deadline, improve our team next off season, if not. And it just gives us another vehicle to acquire players that we wouldn't otherwise have had. But, you know, again, we don't want to just take on a bad contract. We don't want to take on aging veteran players that are – there's always bad contracts to be had, but we're looking to acquire some good players. At the same time, right now, we're looking to have our young guys get a chance to play. And Grant Williams and Rob Williams and, you know, Romeo, when he gets back healthy, I think are critical. Carson Edwards. We have some good young players that we're watching in the facility each and every day that we're excited about.
Well, it's and you mentioned that all around, you know, the East got better. When you look at the team now with Gordon Hayward leaving, and I know you brought in Tristan Thompson, which I think all three of us like that signing. Yes. Do you think that you did enough with the East getting loaded up? Do you think that you did enough this offseason?
Well, first of all, let me just say that every year, everybody gets loaded up. And every year, trade deadline, you know, everybody gets loaded up. Oh, my gosh, how come this team, you know, was able to get this guy? And, you know, it rarely turns out as what the commentary insists. Now, we know that there's some teams. I mean, obviously, the Lakers are loaded. And they've been loaded, and then you got LeBron and Anthony. That's a pretty good start. But I think that I don't see it that way. Obviously, with Kyrie and Kevin Durant coming back in Brooklyn, you know, the East is going to be different because they're incredibly talented players. But I don't really see it that the East has changed a lot, but. I do know this, that I think that we're going to be better. And I'm looking forward to this year. And obviously the best way for us to improve is for Jalen and Jason and Marcus just to continue to improve. And I think they are improving too.
Danny, you were talking about players that are coming back. Kemba Walker's one of those guys, and you folks released a statement this morning that said basically Kemba had a stem cell injection back in October, and he'll resume on-court activities this month, but a further update on his availability won't be until next month. So it seems, the way you're wording this, is he will not be ready for the beginning of the regular season. What is the timetable on him?
Yeah, so, you know, we are just being very cautious with Kemba. We didn't have a long enough off season, and so we set out during the off season. He saw a few different doctors just to research what was going on with his knee, why it didn't feel as good as he hoped. They all said, oh, you know, surgery is definitely not needed. You need to strengthen your quad and your hamstring and your glutes and you should be fine. And he got a stem cell injection. They go in and they take stem cells out of your hip and inject them into your knee. And it's a procedure that other players have done, and it's worked for some. And it can't hurt. But I think more than anything, this strengthening program, which he has been very, very diligent in so far, and we're encouraged that he'll be able to return at full speed, but we do not want to rush it, the program, just because we're starting so early. We're not going to push him to start it sooner now that the season is being started earlier than some anticipated. But I'm not worried about Kemba. He'll be back and give an opportunity for Marcus and Jeff Teague and Peyton Pritchard to play some minutes at point guard.
Talking to Danny Ainge. Danny, did you have dinner with James Harden locally? That was on the internet. Serious question.
Must be true, then.
Well, it was on the internet. Did you have dinner with James Harden? Yes or no?
I did not have dinner with James Harden.
Did you have lunch with James Harden? Did you meet with James Harden?
Did you break bread with James
Harden?
Did you
go to the North End?
Did you have water? Did you didn't meet with James Harden, you're saying?
No, I did not meet with James Harden.
Well, Rich, to cross that Twitter account off our list of go-to.
Darn it.
Follow, yeah.
The Photoshop looked real.
He is on the record. And, Danny, you'll be happy to know you were both Photoshopped wearing masks. So you were very responsible while you were eating with James
you know what? Speaking of, like, wish lists, I'm going to go and ask this because it's going to come up because he's been in the news. You mentioned players that would die to be back here. Isaiah Thomas is one of them. I mean, you know, we've talked about him before, but now all these ex-players are saying, Chris Mannix wrote that all these current players have played with him, they say looks great. You mentioned Kemba Walker being down for a little bit, and I know we've got, you know, some guys in the pipe, but have you considered Isaiah Thomas at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, he's one of my favorite players I've ever been around here in this job. He's the guy that I really look up to and I'm grateful for, and the electricity that he brought here to the city. And I don't know where he's at. I actually just heard that he was back in, you know, about a week ago, maybe 10 days ago, and looking good. But, you know, we're loaded at the position. And, you know, we're not trying to get all small guards. But I think that, Kimba's not going to be gone very long. We really are excited about Pritchard and his future. And we signed Jeff Teague in the offseason. I'm just we can't load our roster up with point guards. And by the way, Marcus Smart's going to play some minutes at point guard as well. We just don't have the room.
All right, Danny, you hired Evan Turner as an assistant coach, and it kind of took us all by surprise because he's a relatively young guy. He's only 32 years old and played last year. Describe the process of getting him on your coaching staff.
You know, Brad has always been a fan of Evan's. And Evan has always been Evan's been a friend of Brad's and Boston, and loved his experience here. And I was a little surprised to hear when Evan's agent called and said, "Hey, is there a spot for Evan on the coaching staff?" And we're not really in a hiring mode right now, but knowing how much Brad and Evan are, how close they are, and how much mutual respect they have for one another, I checked with Brad, and Brad was, we'd love to have Evan on our coaching staff, and we found a place for him, and so he's going to give coaching a try.
He's like one of those guys that when he was here, he was universally loved by everyone, right? I mean, are you basing like your hire on that, or did you see something in him? I'm still trying to figure it out. We all like the hire, but you know, what did you see in Evan?
Well, Evan has a good way with people. He's a good communicator. The players enjoy him because he's fun. He worked on his game. He competed at a high level. And I think he was a player that earned the respect of the coaches and the players. That sounds like an easy thing to do, but it's not always. And on top of that, Evan was a good player. I think that Brad felt like he could use an ex-player on his coaching staff. A lot of them are, you know, really don't want to get into coaching, some that he would like to have had before. And Evan was a guy that really seemed excited about the coaching, and it was even his own idea. We jumped on it.
Well, good. As I said, I like to hire. I'd like to have him as a regular guest on the show, to be honest. But
yes.
You have a problem we have to talk about, Danny. This is something that's a little bit of an intervention. There were photos that came out that you took with Pritchard and Neesmith, the two new guys on the team. And, you know, you can't have the big deal because of COVID now, but you had the photo with them. You're I don't take my earbuds out guy, aren't you?
You know, I had no idea I had my earbuds in. I saw, one of my kids showed me that picture. I go, that wasn't very smart.
Yeah, he was on the phone with Washington trying to move for Cassius Winston.
You know what you're saying, Danny? This is like the biggest moment in those two guys.
He's like, get rid of Pritchard, let's bring Winston.
And he goes, that guy couldn't even take his earbuds out for the most important moment of my life. What were you listening to, Danny?
He's
come on, let us know what you listened to in those earbuds.
I blame the photographer, you know, so I blame him. That's his job. But we were doing it so fast, you know, because in the facility, you got to have your masks on at all times in the same room. And I mean, I just like pulled my mask off very fast, clicked the picture and put it right back on. And, you know, just forgot about the AirPods, which, yeah, it was a busy time, and I was answering a lot of phone calls at that time.
Yeah. Not enough to bring in the kid with the headband, Cassius Winston.
Yeah.
You wanted a four-year player at guard, and you took some kid jabroni out of Oregon and you're bringing in the real star. But, I mean, what are we going to do here, you know?
He was a four-year player at Oregon, right?
Was he a Naismith finalist? I don't know.
No, he wasn't.
Right. Yeah, first-team All-American.
Eh, well, what do I want me to do, research? Come on. They barely played.
No.
They barely played last year. Come on. All right. Well, listen.
I like Winston, Fred. He's a good player. It'd be fun to see how his career goes.
I know.
I'm excited about him.
But I like you took a four-year kid. I like that. Late in the first round, because I figure you got two options late in the first round. Is one, you take a kid based solely on potential, as a kid who has not showed that you're solely on growth and potential that you think you could work with, or you take a kid that maybe you know all about, but a kid that's just shows he's good at basketball. And it's a simple way of saying thing, but I think it's accurate. And I like the idea of going for a four-year kid that's proved that he actually can play the game and not basing everything on, you know, what ifs. I do think that that's good at the end of the first round. I applaud you for that that doing that. Because there's always a Fab Mello there. They're like, eh. Boo. You know, not good.
I guess I'll take that as a compliment, Fred.
It was a compliment. I say you've evolved. Your drafting has evolved since you left Draymond on the board so many years ago. All right. All right. Well, listen, I have to ask questions at the end. My name's on the show. November was Diabetes Awareness Month, and once again, the Celtics and Sun Life teamed up to bring awareness to diabetes prevention through the Sun Life Dunk for Diabetes campaign. For every use of the hashtag SunLifeDunk, the number 4 diabetes, Sun Life donated $21 to the YMCA of Greater Boston's Healthy Habits for Diabetes Prevention and Management Program. Together, Sun Life and the Celtics raised $105,000. For more information on diabetes programs and initiatives, visit Celtics.com/SunLifeDunk, then the number 4 diabetes. Danny Ainge, it's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Everyone's going to be angry at us now that we didn't ask the correct questions, but what are you going to do?
There was one last question.
Oh,
what's going on with fans? Like, is there any kind of talk about what the experience of a Celtics game is going to be like?
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion. I think we're on memo 733, and it seems to be changing. So I don't know the answer to those. That's not my department, but it doesn't look like there's going to be fans as of right now. But I just don't know. We're hopeful. We're hopeful that vaccines come out quicker than we anticipate. But I don't know when fans will be back in the arena.
You're going to be frustrated because you're going to see on the road that fans are all over the place. And Massachusetts is going to be going, no.
Going to go to Miami. It'll be sold out.
It's going to be one of the last ones. But it won't be the last one. I'll tell you that. You got California there. That's going to be like no can do. All right, Danny Ainge, it's always a pleasure, sir. We really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. We'll talk to you throughout the season, hopefully.
All right, guys. Good to catch up.
All right, Danny, too. Thank you. There you go. Danny Ainge.
All right.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.